Hello and welcome to the Tech Guy of East Texas podcast, where we talk about home and small business technology needs and proper technology setup. I am your host, Greg Burns. Today, I want to talk to you about working from home and how to secure your network and devices. Let's start with your Wi-Fi security. I have talked about Wi-Fi security in episode 1, but now I want to go into more detail about the security of your Wi-Fi. When it comes to your Wi-Fi, the password is the most important part of your router to help prevent access to your network. Your password should be at least 8 characters long, with everything from numbers, letters, and special characters. I recommend creating a password 16 characters long with the same setup, punctuation characters, things like that. I personally use a sentence for most of my passwords. And with the sentence, I have punctuation, uppercase, lowercase, everything that goes into a regular sentence structure. I also recommend changing the password of your wireless router every 6 months. And yeah, I know nobody likes changing the password when they don't need to and when it's working. But changing the password helps prevent others from logging into your network without your permission. Or it also helps from people that have been to your house or your office that know your wireless password from just coming around one day when you're not there or driving up outside in the street and logging into your network and you're not there. Now I want to talk to you about your computer and smartphone. Let's start with your PC or laptop. Make sure you're using a device that comes from the company instead of a personal device, if all possible. Your company should have set up security settings and security protocols along with specific software on your laptop. If you have to use your personal computer, make sure you do not use your personal user account and make sure you set up a work user account. Make sure your personal computer has a good password for your work profile, such as 16-character password, uppercase letters, lowercase letters, etc. The different user accounts will help you keep your private life and your work life separate and protect your work data from accidentally being compromised. Now, when it comes to your smartphone, you will have most companies these days allow you to use your own personal phone, but you have to install mobile device management software. What mobile device management software is, it allows your company's tech department to set protocols like having you set up an 8-digit PIN password and making sure your phone is encrypted. So with that being said, they can also erase your phone if you ever lose it or it's ever stolen, especially if you have company data or company emails. I have friends that work in the medical industry, and they use their own personal cell phones, and the hospital's tech department has set up mobile device management software on their phones and also their personal iPads, which they have to do that because of HIPAA compliance rules, because they deal with medical software, which also has patient information on it. With mobile device management software on your cell phone, it helps prevent any information from being lost or stolen, because it can be wiped or tracked digitally when it's not in your possession. So if you choose to use your own personal device, just remember that your company's tech department will more likely install this mobile device software, which can also lose any personal pictures or personal data that you might have stored on that device if it's ever lost or stolen. So if you choose not to use your own personal device or cell phone, please ask your company or medical hospital that you work with to supply you with a device or cell phone that they have already set up. So let's talk about video conferencing now. There are several video conferencing platforms to choose from. There's Zoom, Cisco WebEx, Microsoft Teams, AnyMeeting, Google Meets, and a whole lot of others. The reason I want to talk to you about securing your virtual meetings is because there are people in the early 2020 when the pandemic hit and everybody started going virtual and using Zoom. If they didn't have a password set up for their Zoom meeting, people were doing like what we call Zoom bombs, where they would just show up in your virtual meeting and throw things up on the screen, I've heard of some people putting vulgar information on the screen as well as pictures. So I want to talk to you about how to securely protect your virtual meetings to help prevent others from gaining access to your meetings and possibly embarrassing you and the others on your meeting. So here's what you want to do. Always ensure your meeting has a password. So meaning when you send out your Zoom invite or Microsoft Teams invite, you make sure you send it to specifically number of people, and those people have the password in a separate email so they can gain access to your meeting. You also want to make sure you as the host can control your meeting, meaning you can allow people in your meeting, you can lock your meeting, and you can kick people out. And also you want to make sure you set up where people can't upload information, just you. Because if you have it set where people can upload any information from anyone, then they can put up any information that they want, whether it's pertaining to what you're looking at. You know, example, everybody's seen the Progressive advertisement with Flo and everyone. And you have that one user that just talks to any, to the person that's not in the meeting, and they can all hear it. So as you as the host having control, you can mute everybody or mute individuals so they can talk to whomever they want to without distracting the other people on the meeting. You also want to make sure you let anyone know that the meeting is being recorded, just in case they have any issues with their voice being recorded and the information being used at a later date. Some people do have issues with being recorded these days. So just make sure you let them know that the meeting is being recorded for either your reference material later, or for maybe one of them might want to refer back to recording because they missed some notes or a slide. One more thing when it comes to video conferencing. As the host, you want to make sure you disable the ability for others to upload. What this can do is if you have someone that has an infected software, infected thumb drive, they can possibly upload malware. If that malware is uploaded to the presentation, then everybody will be infected with the malware, or they can spread it to their home devices, or if when they go back to the office, they can spread it to their other colleagues within the office. And this is something you do not want. Now, what you should do is always avoid public Wi-Fi access. Walmart, Whataburger, Starbucks, places like that. Instead of using public Wi-Fi, use a personal hotspot that's been given to you by your company if they do issue you one. If not, you can sometimes use your cell phone as a hotspot, which will help prevent you from being on the public Wi-Fi and give you a little bit more security while you're running your business information and accessing your business databases. If you do have to use a public Wi-Fi, try to use a VPN connection. This helps block any data information that's being sent out from your device. It basically encrypts anything that you're looking at on the internet from others within that public area from seeing what you're doing. For your email, encrypt sensitive data when sending, especially if it's a personal device that you're using. Never leave your computer in your car. That also means not in your trunk of your car. I advise my clients that have remote workers to keep work computers and devices on their person at all times when traveling, meaning never let them out of your sight. It's okay if you have them in your hotel room and things and you're there, but always make sure you have your laptop, your cell phone, your iPad or whatnot within sight. If you have to use the thumb drive, make sure it's one that you have been secured by your tech department or even a brand new thumb drive. Hackers are known for random thumb drive drop-offs at business offices with the hope that an employee will take the thumb drive and open the files on their computer. If this happens, they got you and your data. The files on the drive would more than likely be spyware, sending the data back to the hackers. There's one more thing I want to discuss with you. It's called two-factor authentication. Two-factor authentication increases the security of your account. Even if someone guesses your username and password, they won't be able to gain access to your account without the two-factor authentication PIN code that is sent to you on a separate device. So enable two-factor authentication when possible to help protect your data. So these steps that I've discussed today will help you secure your work-from-home environment. Join me next time when I'll be talking about phishing, email phishing, that is. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Tech Guy of East Texas. Until next time, make sure you visit our website at www.theonetechguy.com. Tell your friends and family. And don't forget to click that subscription button